Good morning. This is TCT Daily Report for Tuesday, April 7, 2026. I'm reading from Boston. In Commerce and Capital this morning, the arsenal of the American Republic is running on fumes. A report first published by the South China Morning Post, and since confirmed by multiple outlets, reveals that the United States possesses roughly 8 weeks of rare earth supplies available for military use, a figure that places a hard ceiling on how long Washington can sustain its current campaign against Iran at present intensity. The first 36 hours of the American-Israeli strike consumed more than 3,000 precision-guided munitions and interceptors, and every one of those weapons depends on rare earth permanent magnets – neodymium, praseodymium, dysprosium, terbium – without which, the guidance and propulsion systems that define American precision warfare simply do not function. China controls approximately 60% of global rare earth mining and more than 90% of the refining capacity that converts raw ore into usable material. Beijing imposed export controls on 7 heavy rare earth elements last April, and expanded those controls dramatically in October with extraterritorial licensing requirements covering any product containing even trace amounts of Chinese origin minerals. The Mountain Pass mine in California remains the only operating rare earth facility of scale in North America, and much of its output has historically been shipped to China for processing. According to the Post's sources, Washington's rare earth deficit is expected to dominate discussions whenever President Trump and President Xi finally meet, and Beijing appears to be in no hurry to come to the table. The negotiating asymmetry is plain. The Republic's most sophisticated weapons depend on materials refined by the nation most capable of denying them. Turning now to the world of arts and letters, and to the heavens above it, 4 Americans are closing the distance to the moon this morning aboard the Orion spacecraft, christened Integrity by its crew, on the 5th day of NASA's Artemis II mission. Commander Reid Wiseman, pilot Victor Glover, mission specialist Christina Cook, and Canadian Space Agency astronaut Jeremy Hansen launched from Kennedy Space Center at 6:35 in the evening on April 1st, and they are now deep in cislunar space, preparing for a Monday flyby of the lunar far side that will carry them farther from Earth than any human beings have ever traveled. On Sunday, Flight Day 5, Orion was expected to cross into the Moon's gravitational sphere of influence, the point at which lunar gravity becomes the dominant force governing the spacecraft's trajectory. The crew spent the morning testing their Orion survival suits, practicing the speed with which they could don and pressurize them and strap into their seats, the first time these suits have been evaluated in the deep space environment for which they were designed. On the prior day, at crew wake-up, the spacecraft was approximately 169,000 miles from Earth and 110,700 miles from the Moon. Pilot Glover reported to the ground with characteristic understatement that the Earth was quite small and the Moon was definitely getting bigger. It is the first time in more than half a century that American astronauts have made this crossing, and the Republic should mark the achievement with the gravity it deserves. From arts and letters as well, the White House budget transmitted to Congress on April 3rd would remake the American research enterprise with a severity that few in the scientific community believed politically achievable. The National Science Foundation would be cut by nearly 55%, reduced to $4 billion from its current $8.8 billion, a level not seen in decades. The entire directorate supporting research in the social sciences and economics would be dissolved. NSF leaders announced the closure at an internal meeting on Friday. STEM education programs would fall by 86%, from $1.1 billion to $151 million. The National Institutes of Health, the largest funder of biomedical research on the planet, would absorb a $5 billion reduction.
And in a provision that has alarmed scholars across every discipline, the budget proposes a government-wide prohibition on using federal funds for academic journal subscriptions and publishing fees. Artificial intelligence and quantum computing would receive nearly a quarter of NSF's diminished total, signaling clearly what the administration considers strategically paramount and what it considers expendable. The cuts are unlikely to survive Congress intact, but they define the direction of presidential ambition, and that direction points unmistakably away from basic research and toward a narrower definition of national utility. Still in arts and letters, the annual survey published by the Art newspaper documents a year in which American museums absorbed extraordinary punishment and, in most cases, endured. The January 2025 Palisades fire forced the Getty Villa to close for approximately 6 months, and attendance plunged nearly 60%. In Washington, the record 43-day federal government shutdown last autumn shuttered the Smithsonian Complex and the National Gallery of Art during peak visitation. The National Gallery lost more than a quarter of its audience. The National Portrait Gallery and the Smithsonian American Art Museum saw attendance fall to roughly half of pre-pandemic levels, a decline the survey attributed not only to the shutdown, but to prolonged disputes with the administration over programming, the withdrawal of artists from exhibitions, and high-level resignations. Yet, the nation's large, privately governed museums continued their post-pandemic recovery and, in several cases, reached historic heights, a divergence that tells its own story about the relationship between institutional independence and institutional resilience. The public museum, dependent on the federal purse, proved vulnerable in ways its private counterparts were not. And finally, from the Agora. President Trump's fiscal year 2027 budget proposes $1.5 trillion in defense spending, alongside a 10% reduction in non-defense discretionary programs. And it deserves to be understood not as an ordinary appropriations request, but as a declaration of national identity in wartime. The base Pentagon request breaches $1 trillion for the first time in American history. The White House itself boasted that the spending level approaches the historic increases just prior to the Second World War. The budget funds 18 battle force ships, expanded munitions production to replenish stockpiles consumed by the Iran campaign, and continued investment in the Golden Dome missile defense architecture. On the domestic side, the Environmental Protection Agency faces a 52% cut. The Small Business Administration would lose 67% of its funding. The word woke appears 34 times in the 92-page document. The strategic imperative is real. The Republic is at war, and its service members are in harm's way. But a budget that guts the scientific enterprise, hollows out domestic governance, and concentrates fiscal authority through reconciliation to bypass the Senate filibuster is not merely a wartime measure. It is a transformation of the Republic itself, and the Congress that receives it bears the full weight of deciding whether that transformation is wise. That is TCT Daily Report for Tuesday, April 7th, 2026. The Commonwealth Times. Pro Republica Edificamus.